Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, Baltimore Positive, WNST. We're doing it, man. We're out here doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're doing the Maryland Oyster Tour. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. At the Gold Rush Sevens Doublers, we're going to have the Raven Scratch-Offs. I've been giving these things away. Somebody's going to win $100,000 here. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Viv is hanging out. If you want to hear the This Is Your Life Viv thing, I'm going to have you back at some point because I can't get enough of this St. Louis thing.
I have time.
I was going to, well, when you're not running with the kids, but like in the summer of 1983, my parents asked me, they came home, my dad said, I'll take you on vacation anywhere you want to go. And I picked St. Louis because Greyhound Bus went there and had the arch. And I loved the Phillies, and I saw the Phillies play the Cardinals. I went to Kiel Auditorium, and I saw Ric Flair and Harley Race battle. Cool. I saw Hulk Hogan that night. He was Thunderlips at the time. I had pictures of all that. So I loved St. Louis. So, like, I wanted to – but I love Buffalo more, and you know that, Rasig,
right.
You know. So Mike Rasigliano, here's our co-host with a K. To honor that, we're going to have the coconut shrimp with a K. You know, I offered Viv a chance to sit on my face earlier, and and this is Rasig's artwork from back in the day. Rasig thought I was this good looking back in the day.
I think it's just that's the way – that's the way I drew you then, Ness.
Well, this is the last one that exists, okay?
Like, really?
So I have it at station, and I finally popped the hole in it from where you sit. It's 26 years old. Somebody about 3 months ago sent me a Facebook. They have $1.29 stickers on them at the Goodwill in Bel Air. I'm not kidding you.
That's quite an honor.
There was like a whole thing of them, and I'm like, sit on my face for $1.29 for life. And they are comfortable. So the seats here, you know, my back's been bad and all that.
Mine too. How are you feeling? Back on and off.
Getting young, you know?
No, I'm retired too, like Viv. I've been retired a little longer. I still do a little bit of freelance work, but really the main cartoon stuff in newspapers is done, and I'm enjoying my retired life and enjoying my grandkids. We have twins, Mark.
Oh,
they both look like both of them. Your grandkids look like the way you drew your kids.
Yes, right. I would agree.
They have these features. They're these little Rasigs.
They're identical 3-year-olds, you know.
But they look like, if you would have drawn a cartoon 30 years ago, what your grandchildren would look like if you had twins. It's amazing.
When I did the family Christmas cards, I just substituted in the way I used to draw Steve N. Tupp.
How do you draw me now? Older?
yes, more distinguished.
So for my 30th birthday, Rasig came and he drew my face and he copied it, Xeroxed it, and left it all over the party and asked people to put hairstyles on me.
Yes, right.
And I have all of this stuff from all of these years in our friendship. But our friendship, much like Viv and I, the media thing, man. Yeah. The media thing. And
sure.
I'm doing this 40th anniversary, and I do want to just shamelessly plug it, even though I have you here, Viv, and I'd love to have you back more. But all of these alums get together. And, Viv, you should come join us on the 28th. There'll be almost 100 of us at a Guinness. And it's all the old sports writers, everybody from the News American, the Sun. If you were in sports media and sports newspaper at any point in the last 50 years, you're invited.
Did you put this together?
Molly Dunham Stan Rapp. I'm a passenger.
Okay.
But it's inspired me in many ways. When you talked about losing friends of yours, and also friends like Kurt Menefee that you work with when you were a young man that are still with us, right? These are Rasig's one of those people, and we share that 40 years later. And we were at a lot of places that went out of business. The Evening Sun, News American, Sports First.
CNN Sports Illustrated.
There you go. The last ever broadcast. You already brought, goodbye CNN Sports Illustrated, brought to you by Mark Viviano. So we closed some places down, but Sports First, can you describe to Viv what Sports First was? Because it's really the reason you were here, right?
Yeah,
they had a budget to hire a sports cartoonist.
I was on a paper in Buffalo that folded, the Courier and Press. I was out of work. We started a greeting card company, but we got pregnant with our second son, and so we needed coverage. So a friend knew about this job at Sports First as an art director, so I took the job, you know. And it was a fun young crew. Really, it was a very young, talented crew.
They're all Viv's age now, you know.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
They're all your age.
I was 15 years old. The guy that was my big brother was 20. Chris Pica, I'm sure you know Chris. Chris was the person that showed me around there. The first night I walked in there was January 16th, 1984. Was the day I walked into the – I was 15 years old.
Right.
And I worked at Sports First for the Colts left 8 weeks later. I was there the day after. I didn't work the night that the team left. I worked the next day. I worked three nights a week. They paid me $3.33 an hour. I worked from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Other kids were going to Roy Rogers and flipping hamburgers and whatever. I was getting on the bus and going down to the paper and putting the paper out when I was 15 years old. So, and Sports First was this thing. And I got the gig. A guy named Tom Robinson, Robbie, who later became the sports editor of the Scranton paper, Binghamton. He was from that area, that part of the world. He sent me a LinkedIn today because he's going to be a part of this thing 2 weeks
from
now. And he said something about you. And he called you, "I love the inside Robert Irsay's brain cover," he said to me, 8:15 last night. "Remember the tiny dot rational thought or something similar? Rasig was, is, an absolute genius."
Oh, that's
so he called
great.
You a genius last night, and he wanted to know if there's any copies of Sports First floating around.
I have some that
I told him that. I said, Rasig has a trove, I think.
The Stetkas gave me a bunch of theirs.
Nice.
So
I talked to Bill Stetka this morning.
Right.
Yes.
And he was on that
Bill
staff.
Bill Stetka was another guy you
and
know.
And Steady was on that staff.
So
I mean, in the photo of that staff that he's in.
Well, you mentioned people passing and leaving us, you know, through this. We lost a guy named Rich Petro, who worked with Dick Girardi. Dick Girardi was another Sports First guy, right? Rick Petro was a Dundalk guy who knew the paper. He's an old paper guy and knew the horses. And he did the horses, but he became the first guy around there that understood computers. If anybody had a problem, you went to Pete. Pete had dementia the last few years. We lost him about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was Chris Zhang's picture. There's one picture that was taken in the newsroom of Sports First of the whole group.
Right.
25 white men and
it,
Kathy Frazier, who was my boss. She was the high school editor. And this picture showed up, and I shared it, and it went nuts when Pete died like 3 months ago. And Chris Zhang was the one that gave it to Petro's kid. He took a picture of it, sent it to me, and I made it famous. And I started looking at all these people. Some of them were alive. Some of them were dead. Rasig's in that picture. I'm not in the picture. I wasn't there the night they took the picture, right? So I'm not in the picture. But everybody else is. And I went. Pete Kurtzel's in that picture.
Wow.
Come on now. I mean, going through all these people. Old Bill Clark, if you remember. Bob Clark, excuse me.
Bob Clark, also gone.
Also gone.
Yeah.
So Mark Hyman's in that picture.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, all of these people are in this picture, Steady. And I started thinking, we got to do a reunion. And, like, hey, that was 40 years ago. 3 days ago, I Googled it, and it turned out that the paper folded on September 21st, 1984. My son was born on September 22nd, 1984.
Wow.
And on the day after my son was born, I remember running to you in the newsroom. I was in there doing a story, I think, on Rush or Kiss, one of the bands. I was doing a story, and I was out in the main newsroom, and I told you I became a father, and you were kind of, like, shocked because I was, like, 12 years old, you know? So, but you're like, hey, you know the paper went out of business last night. I think you were, like, cleaning your desk out. Like, it was a crazy time. But this is when I met you, man, 40 years ago this week.
Wow.
It's crazy, man.
That's a cool there's a lot of cool anniversaries coming up. Also, the Dummy's anniversary is coming up,
the
too.
Dummy.
Oh, you know, I mean, Chris Thomas had him on the air.
Yes,
at PAL.
Always. Right. Yes.
Right. So that's my Dummy. And that anniversary is in October. So I have to look up the date and post some stuff on
Sports First was this very ambitious daily sports newspaper. They didn't know that we were losing the football team. They put money into a young staff, probably put $500,000 into people. They already had a press.
Was it Baltimore or was it regional?
Just Baltimore.
It was printed in Gaithersburg, and it did have – their goal was to distribute in the D.C. area, too.
To make it a Baltimore, D.C.
They did do that a little bit, but, I mean, I'll tell the story at the other thing, but I was – one of the things they had me do were these full – page caricatures of the Washington Redskins, and it was cut color, so you probably don't know what that is, but now I just paint it on and scan it. But back in the day,
he had an X-Acto knife, and he had to
cut amberlith for every
color. I watched
color.
Him cut amberlith with an X-Acto knife every night.
And so Viv, I literally, they would send these, they would do these. I would do a full day doing this caricature. It would go out, and I would. I'm telling you, maybe one person hung these because there was very few.
There was no distribution. They didn't know what they were doing. They were underfunded.
Also, most of the people that did read it were Baltimore people. They hated the Redskins. Yeah. So, you know, they didn't want...
Well, they hated the Redskins because the team moved in the middle of the paper. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the paper only existed for 11 months and 30 days.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Literally, it lasted 1 year.
It
the
did.
Paper started September 1st, I guess, of 83. Colts stink, but they just drafted Schleister, and they weren't moving anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Orioles won the World Series. There's a World Orioles won the World Series sports first thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I and moved here, and the Orioles won the World
literally,
Series.
Literally. Nice. 6 weeks later, and then 5 months later, the Colts left town.
Right.
I joined the paper in the middle in January. The Colts are gone, and then the paper's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is 1983 to 84. So all that happened. And 40 years later, I've got this crazy radio station. And we're going to bring all these. Barry Levine, who worked at the National Enquirer, who ended was it John Edwards or was it the Bimini guy, Gary Rice? He brought down a president with National Enquirer. It was Edwards. It was Edwards, wasn't it?
No, it was the guy, the picture of the guy on the boat.
But
the
that was Gary Rice.
Business.
Yeah, but this was John. I think it was the Edwards story that he broke. That,
Gary
that,
Hart.
Gary Hart.
Hart.
That's
Rice
a,
Hart, was his girlfriend.
Hart was, right. There you go.
Yeah.
Colorado. But so these people, Ken Davis covered UConn basketball for 25 years when he left here. Bernie Miklas is a legend in St. Louis.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, he's an Anne Arundel County kid who got his first break working at this crazy little paper. John Hawkins, legendary golf writer, golf world writer John Hawkins. All of these people were in this little crazy newspaper at the News American in this old commissary, and I'm a 15-year-old kid beating it around there trying to figure out how to make my way. Keith Mills worked at the News American.
Did he?
Yeah, Keith was an NA guy. Vince Bagley was a sports writer at the News American in the 50s before he went on the television. So the News American had this, was the News Post then. Legendary history. We're going to do that. Viv, I want to talk to you guys about media and how much it has changed because, I mean, no kayfabe for you. You're out of the industry. But 3 years ago this week, one of the last times I had a press pass at a game, I flew out to Vegas. You didn't go to that game? Did you go to that game with it masked up?
No.
120 degrees outside. It was the first game in Vegas, right? We played Zay Jones caught the pass in overtime, the end of the game, right?
Remember the game, yeah.
We all had masks on. There were only three reporters there. It was me, Jameson, and Jeff Zrebeck were there, brand new building. Sandusky saw me up at the meal. I think Kadri was doing the game with him then, or maybe it was Femi. I don't know.
Wouldn't be Kadri.
It was Femi. It was Femi. Yeah. Femi at the time. So I'm upstairs, and they're having the meal, and there's nobody there because, like, you had that mask. It was crazy. And Sandusky looked up at me at the meal, and he said, "This isn't as much fun as it used to be, is it?" And that's what he said to me before the game that night.
Wow.
And all of that, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I won't forget that. Like, I won't forget what you said to me in Arlington last year. I'll let you handle that. But when my employee is being harangued about a clubhouse badge because I was with him, you saw we were seated at the kids' table up in the corner away from all the rest of the media. I'm 55 years old. I'm writing a lot about that this month. Your exit, right, from this, Jamie's exit from this. I don't want to exit this. I love this. But I love being at Coco's, being treated like a human being by Marcella and by friends.
Well.
I don't want to be mistreated by athletes or Chad Steele or Greg Bader or any of the people in that space
and remember,
that have made it an industry of mistreating me over decades. I don't like it.
Remember what I said to you that night. I said, forget these guys. And the reason I said that to you.
Well, you said it a little more. You did say it a little more strongly.
The reason I said that to
you. I've never
you
heard
is,
you drop an F-bomb, by the way.
Is because what you do and how you do it does not require that you be in their inner circle. In fact, your energy as a Dundalk kid who fights, your energy and your what comes across as you is that you're fighting.
I don't want to fight with these people.
Dude, that's who
you are. Dude, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to fight with anybody.
I understand you don't want to, but I question you. At night, when you go to bed, I think you know that's who you are and what you do.
Oh, no, and no, you know, no. And you know that is not.
But
I strongly disagree with
that. I say that as a compliment to you.
Who has more love than me as a human?
Does it make you
know me? I'm agreeing with Mark on this, except for I agree. You do have a lot of love. And
No, it doesn't make you a bad guy.
I'm a lover.
You're not a – I'm not saying you're bad.
Seriously. I'm a relationship builder with anyone who's a good human being, even a guy I've never had on the radio in 25 years who worked at my competitor who I couldn't have on.
For as long?
And you drove across town and spent 3.5 hours with me today to be with me today and gave me a hell of a dentist recommendation. Thank you, Dr. Lebo. But, like, that's how much you think of me. Chad Steele doesn't think enough of me to let me do my job. It's astonishing. Greg Bader doesn't think enough of me to ever sit – I've never had a conversation with Greg Bader in my life. I've had two conversations with Chad Steele in my life, and you interrupted one of them, and you probably don't
remember that.
You remember.
Oh, it was at the Liars lunch.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
You had no idea. Walked into a table where he was shouting at me, threatening
no
my
idea.
Career.
I know and that Dick Cass was there, too.
I want to say this in front of you, because I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but – if I really knew that Dick Cass was out to throw me out and Bisciotti was out to throw me out and Harbaugh and DaCosta would just brazenly lie to me about my career and the way I feed my family, the minute that Chad Steele started threatening my career, I should have called all of you over. You, Stepner, all of you, and said, gather around. This MF-er is threatening my livelihood and everything I've ever worked for. He's saying I'm not one of you anymore.
Well, I'm going to agree with Mark again then, because you were very feisty there, Ness.
What I did as a professional? You're wrong. I sat there and I looked at him and tried to be reasonable. I literally tried to be reasonable. What more can I say? And I said to him when he threw me out, I'm like, what do you think I'm going to tell people after 20 years of this, where Kevin Byrne knew for 20 years, everybody here knew? Kevin Byrne called the former Baltimore County executive, my former co-host, and told me a year and a half before that I was going to be targeted and I was going to be thrown out.
Well,
that's all factual, and I can prove that anywhere you want me to prove
it. I'm not disputing.
As the reporter.
I'm not disputing your story, but I'm only –
Why do I get that treatment and you, like, why is there a caste system? Because it really never was that way, you know?
Listen.
Even when I was a little Ratbird AM radio station and you were
at
BAL or whatever. No, but I never got treated that way by Phil Regan. I never got treated that way by Johnny Oates. I never got treated that way by Gene Ubriaco. I haven't been treated that way by anyone.
But you know
what?
I
didn't get treated that way by Davey Johnson.
Let him
like
say what he wants to say.
But think about this. Nobody's been doing it longer than you. Nobody's done it like you. And that energy that you're talking about and that conflict that has come your way has made you the media person you are, who is unlike anyone who's ever done anything in this town. And I say if you take that away, you're just one of everybody else. So that energy.
I want to do my job. I want to ask questions. I want back and forth. I want a relationship. I want what I have with Marvin Lewis, which is next Saturday night. We're going to go out and have a beer together.
You're doing it, and you're doing it extremely well. And those fights that you talk about.
But, Viv, you don't walk the streets every day. We're having people come up to you and say, you're illegitimate. Illegitimate after 40 years of doing this.
I don't. But the fact that you do, if you do, you're telling me that that's what happens. They tell you you're illegitimate. Whatever. Dude, nobody's been doing this longer than you. You got into this business when you were 15.
And I don't want to be kicked out at 55.
You're not. You haven't. Oh, kicked out, but nobody.
Mistreated.
You've not been stopped.
On purpose.
I walked in here and I see this setup you have. I listen
to you. My declaration is I'm not going to walk into rooms where I'm mistreated. Ever.
You make your own space. Your voice.
I don't mistreat anyone. I'm not going to be mistreated. Simple as that.
That's okay. But listen, you're still doing it, and you're doing it great. And I walked in here at Coco's and saw how you have this set up. It's all you. You make it happen. When people come at you, you fight or deflect or whatever, but it never stops you.
I appreciate that.
No,
but
that's what
I would much more appreciate that my employee – not have to decide whether he's going to cover a playoff game or a Ravens practice.
These are
not right.
This
isn't about Nestor. This is about me being an FCC owner. This is about a media entity
that has
3 decades of a trail being mistreated.
All fair. And I'm not saying
with no basis.
I'm not saying you don't.
Certainly not for David Rubenstein.
I'm looking at you from the outside saying, dude, whatever they're bringing at you, you're really good at dealing with it because it makes you who you are.
And I don't want to fight with these. I want this on the record. I have no interest in fighting with these people.
But there's nobody like you. There's nobody close. I'm a dime a dozen guy. There's a lot of guys that went to journalism school, do it a certain way. Go through the ladder, do it. I have no regrets about how I've done.
You're selling yourself short, man. How long have you been on?
But this is a guy who fights.
I'll just say this. Your advice to me that night when my employee, I've never seen Luke more hurt. He was treated as though he had been discriminated against. Like literally, they're going to take my clubhouse badge in Texas away. John Blake's in front of me, who's known me since I was 15 and worked for the Orioles years ago, knows it's wrong. No, you knew it was wrong. And you were the only one in the Baltimore media. None of the kids that work for the Banner or the Sun, I smell to them. Like they don't even know, you know, they won't even come near me. You came up and you said to me that night, you pointed at the dugout and you said, F those people if they're going to treat you this way. It's wrong. You said in the same way you just said it to me, but you said it privately. And from that night forward, literally, you moved me in a different direction to say, I'm not going to be treated this way again. I'm not going to have my employee, someone I care a lot about, someone I help provide for his family, I'm not going to have him treated
that way. I get that part of it. But let me say this. The reason I said that to you, and I would say this to you if it was about a girl. If there was a girl who you just wanted to be with, and you know, it's like, I want to be with that girl. She doesn't like me, I would say.
She got bad judgment.
I would say, Nestor, forget about her.
This is my job, dude.
I understand. You're still doing your job. In fact, you're using that energy, that fight, to be the guy that's different from everybody. I know you don't want to fight.
I don't want to fight.
But you know what?
No,
the fight keeps finding you. And you know what? You're okay. Look at you. You're okay.
Still fogging up the glass. Yeah.
You're doing good.
Can I get your crab cake to go 11-ounce big for your wife?
Psychiatry
kids?
In your retirement?
No, you know this guy.
I agree with you.
If everything was smooth sailing, I wouldn't know who you are.
No, I agree totally.
I wish Bill DeWitt had bought the team, and you and I were just colleagues in that way, and we had 3 flags downtown, and the Orioles were the Red Sox, and you know what I mean? I wish that had been the journey of my life all of these years, right? Right? But I've had a good gig. Everything's good with me.
The other difference is...
No, I don't... That does not belie what's right and wrong.
That's fine.
I don't sit here and rant about this all day ever. In any way. I talk about all sorts of things. But when we're going to get on this issue, what's right and wrong, and the hero worship, and the sycophant part of that sports thing, and the part where they get $1.2 billion, and the part where they say Baltimore on it, and it has very little to do with Baltimore, right? Challenging that comes to me from John Stedman and Bob Paston and Herb Belgrad, and you getting the story of us stealing the team and us pining away to never have a team, right, for all of that, that I have so much respect for it and it coming here. And you mentioned the Modells. I mean, David Modell, I say this about him all the time. David Modell never, ever, ever lied to me. Ever. I can't think of many people in my life professionally that didn't have to tell a white lie, didn't have to fib to me.
We're in
that
the
would
media.
Always pull me
we
up.
All get them.
Right. But to have
a guy. That's part of the terrain.
To have a guy who was at that, did what he did and the way he did it and whatever his people think of him, I think so much more of him because he was an honest person. Like, you're an honest person. You know what I mean?
I try to be. But you know, and
you admit that F-bomb in Texas.
I did, but I'll be honest about
it. I can't believe Mark.
I did. I couldn't believe it either. That's why it had such an effect on me.
But he's Italian.
Let me say this too. As much as I understand your story and your fight, I'm not embarrassed to say I get along with both organizations just fine. In fact, I have very good friends there, and I like and appreciate some of the people you don't like. We can have a different experience. We can have somebody can treat you a certain way, treat me a certain way, whatever it is. But if I see you and I know your story.
If somebody chimed at you to try to end your career and end your business, I'd have your ass. I'd have your back. I'd have all of your backs.
I appreciate that.
And I told all of you in 2000, I said, could you come to my house for coffee in 2006 before Free the Birds? Were you one of the people that came to my house?
I did not come to your house.
Okay, yeah, a lot of people did because I told a lot of media people what I was doing, ahead of Free the Birds, and just said, hey, man, like, the team's in last place for 10 years. The football team's, like, are we going to let the baseball team do this as the media? I watched the Colts leave. I watched Bob Irsay yell at Gordon Beard, you're a bad man, yelling at Stedman.
My man.
Blame the media for the team leaving. I was here. I wasn't a kid. I was a kid at the paper
the other
with
thing,
these guys.
The
you
other
know?
Thing that Mark didn't say that I want to say about you, Nestor, is that a lot of us, most of us probably in the media over the years, are not – from Baltimore. Like, you're from Baltimore. The Baltimore comes out in you all the time when you're on the radio. So, I mean, I'm sure there are a few guys in Baltimore, but a lot of people I can think of, all that new, that whole sports first staff was out of town.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of the people in probably TV media.
Even John Eisenberg and Ken Rosenthal. Well, we go through the list. Phil Jackman. All the venerable voices. Garceau. All the venerable voices.
Baltimore through and through, you know.
Well, I don't need you kissing my butt. I want to kiss Viv's. No. Your retirement, but you're doing charitable good work, right? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, it's a continuation of some of the stuff that we've been doing. St. Casimir Church in Canton collects food for Helping Up Mission and Beans and Bread every Tuesday morning. We make up lunches because this came back from during the pandemic when they closed down the sit down for people to come in. So one of the parishioners said, let's make lunches they can hand out. And that is still going on. We've made over 250,000 lunches over the past, four years, whatever it's been. And it allowed me an understanding and an inroads into Helping Up Mission and what they do for the men.
I've been down there. We collect the coats for them for many years.
Unbelievable. And I've had an opportunity to meet Mike Rollo, who runs the spiritual side of that, and speak to the guys down there. They're incredible men. They're our brothers and sisters. They are downtrodden. They have been addicted. They've been homeless. But they've walked through those doors to change their
lives.
I've
looked into those men's eyes down there.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. So here's what I'm going to do. We'll take a quick break because Sig and I are going to hang out. We're going to talk about the Orioles winning the World Series and the Ravens winning the Super Bowl and all that. Because you got to go. I mean, you got Little League. You
got to
go. I want to get you out of here. Because I've been thrown out of the league, but literally, I did 27 Super Bowls on Radio Row, right? This is my business. You laugh about it. It's not effing funny to me.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you.
So setting up at Super Bowls and doing what I do and fun sponsors, this, that, all, that's all gone because Chad Steele called the league and said he's not legitimate, literally. So after all these PR people call me during the week, said, you want to put on this Hall of Famer that I'm not there? That week, I've taken on for Maryland Food Bank, for Carmen Del Guecho. So last year, instead of doing Super Bowl week, we're doing a cup of soup or bowl week. Mm-hmm. So we did it here at Coco's for 8 hours live. We do 5 days. Oh. I want you to come back that week. The Ravens will be in the Super Bowl that week. You'll still be retired.
Yep.
I want you to come back that week, and we'll bring Helping Up. We'll, because that's the time of the year, 6 weeks after Christmas, that all the goodwill Christmas coat, food drives, that all goes away.
You're right.
And then the pantries get empty in February,
Good point.
It's the coldest time of the year. And so I'm doing all charity that week, everything. So whatever you're doing that week, whatever you're doing, three charity, whatever it is, bring them all to me. Let's tell their story that week. We do that?
I know you're a good man. I never said otherise. He's a good man. Rasig, great to see you, brother.
Great to see you.
And to meet your lovely wife as well.
Nice meeting you.
Yes. Stop by in our neighborhood anytime.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll be back. Co-host.
I told Marcel I'm coming back.
Well, this crab cake's going to blow your mind, too. So, you know.
If you're back, call Terry and I. We'll come meet you guys.
Awesome. Yeah.
Free lottery ticket. $10,000 to Mark Viviano right there, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. We are doing this every day. I'm going to be eating oysters every day. Today's the first day. We're Coco's. We're going to be at Gertrude's. We're going to be at the Peppermill, even though I'm not old enough. I think they'll let me in. They let me into Hammer Jack's when I wasn't old enough. Maybe they'll let me into the Peppermill. We're back for more at Coco's. We're six, my co-host. We're going to eat oysters. Marcella's going to tell stories about her crab cakes. And we're going to celebrate beautiful Lauraville, which is where we are. Back for more at Baltimore Positive right after this.